All right, so we're going to continue on in our Imagine theme. And I don't know if you what happened with you last week, but if you were here last week, you would have heard Pastor Kyla speaking, and she spoke on imagining the face of God. And it was the face of God shining on us. And she shared with us the blessing in the Old Testament through Numbers. And she walked us through some moments of imagining and had you close your eyes and just imagine if you were in God's presence and where you would be and all of that type of thing. And I think she suggested that we go to a comfortable spot. And so I did that. That was right in my wheelhouse, by the way. That was totally, I'm all imagining. I just love to imagine. As a matter of fact, it's to my fault, I imagine. I guess they would call it more like distracted and daydreaming and not able to pay attention to anything. Maybe I do have an issue. But anyhow, I would sit in school very often and just I'd be looking out the window and that'd be it. School was done and I didn't even realize what had happened. So that's the way I was. So when Kyla suggested we imagine, I could have imagined the whole service. And unfortunately, she stopped us partway through. But as we were going through that process, where did you go? I know where I went. I went to my, as she said, go to a comfortable chair. So I was in my Lazy Boy, and I was reclined, and we have a Lazy Boy double seat beside this one single Lazy Boy. I know, we're all about lazy. Anyhow, so I'm sitting there just relaxing, and God is sitting beside me, and he's just talking to me, and it's just casual, and I feel very comfortable. I feel at peace. I feel like he's for me. And no matter what I'd been through or what kind of things I'd experienced, that he was just willing to talk it through with me, whatever it is. And he was going to help me through it. So this morning, as we go to imagine, and we imagine being childlike, that's a little bit different. But I wanted to kind of grab onto that again and get you thinking about what Pastor Kyle had shared last week, because that was kind of significant. And if you hadn't been through that, maybe you're going through it now. And just kind of thinking what it would be like if you were just sitting there in God's presence. How would you feel? Because we all have different feelings. I mean, depending on the day, I could feel very anxious about that experience and quite uncomfortable in God's presence. But the overall feeling that I had because of my experience with God was that it's all good. It's all good. So when I'm with him, I'm taken care of. Childlike faith. It's an interesting concept. Pastor Kyla grabbed some of it here and talked about what it might be like to have childlike faith. And so we do often hear about things like children, they're innocent. Nobody's laughing yet. Children are innocent. They're trusting. And they're open. They ask the darndest questions, right? They just kind of speak out what they're thinking, how they're feeling a lot of times, and sometimes that's very uncomfortable, particularly for a parent who didn't want anybody else to know some things about what's happening in the family just prior to the service as you get here, and then they shared exactly everything that happened as you're driving over or in the house just before you left. That's uncomfortable, but kids are good at that. They can just share things. In this passage, what I want to do is look at least three things. One is what the how it would fit into their culture when they talk about the child. So maybe in ancient days, what was it like? How did they view a child? Because it would be significant then as to why Jesus would bring this child amongst the disciples. And then let's just take a little look at what we think it's like to be the greatest, because we know that argument came up, and that's why the child came into the picture. What does our world see the greatest as? And I think all of us are going to say, I know that, you can skip that part. No, it's worth going over, because it's good for us to kind of get it cemented in our minds, maybe the fact that we might be going off track. We might be sliding to the right or to the left and missing out. Now here, the reason I say that we might be going off track is not so that you feel guilty, but missing out on the beautiful plan that God has for us when we're centered on him. All right? So first of all, we'll look at the child and what they viewed him, the child, like in Jesus' day. Then we'll look at what our world looks at greatness. And then let's take a look at what God's world might look like, or as to who would be great. And of course, then we'll be talking about God's kingdom, not this world. Let's pray. Father, thank you this morning for your word. And as uncomfortable as it is sometimes, and as sometimes we assume we know everything about it. I pray that you would open up to something that we don't know. God, that you would make a new realization that possibly would strike us in our heart, in our minds, that would help us to think a little bit differently about who we are and what it's like to be in your presence. So God, open up our minds, allow our imagination to move, and to see what would it be like if I had a childlike faith? What would it be like if I had a childlike relationship between myself and my Father God? And I pray in Jesus' name, amen. I thought I'd open with a little story, and the story is regarding David Hearn, because David Hearn's coming March 1st, and Greg, I love the way you've been introducing him. Should have had you up here again doing it. He is a lot of fun. He just is hopping. He'll be vibrating when he's here. He won't stop moving. His toes will be going up and down, and he'll want to hug every one of you. So if you don't like a hug, you might want to stay away from him, because he's just that kind of guy. There's a story he shared in a paper that I get fairly, well, I guess monthly, I think it is, Momentum. And Momentum is his way of, is our president of the Alliance, David Hearn is the president of the Alliance, is his way of kind of bringing everybody together and giving them a little momentum for the day or for the month or whatever. And so this story goes like this. He started it off as, the common game that we play, I See With My Little Eye. Anybody play that game? Anybody not know how that game goes? Do I have to explain this game? Okay, good. So. Oh, spy. Yeah, I spy. Oh, my gosh. Oh, kid, I'm just resting too much. I'm too comfortable. So I spy with my little eye. So he's sharing the story of I spy with my little eye. And they're driving. I think they're driving. No, I forget. Anyhow, I think they're driving. And his granddaughter's in the back. And she's doing all the I spies. And he can't get any of them, right? Because everything she's picking is behind the seat on the floor. And it's like, no. And finally he catches on. Oh, it's all just garbage that she's pointing at. So he just keeps saying garbage. And he was right every time. So I was like, garbage. And so anyhow, his point was that as he's playing this game with his granddaughter, if you were to play this game with somebody else too, it kind of heightens your awareness of things around you. Because you're looking for whatever they're spying, right? So you're actually looking a little more intently to see things. Well, here's the story. David was probably near a store like 7-Eleven. He's walking out of 7-Eleven, and there's a man that's sizable, muscular, covered with tattoos, a little intimidating. And so as he said in his story, I quickened my pace. He quickened his pace to move ahead of this man. But then suddenly, it was as if God said, no, you need to go and look at this man. And so he turned and he looked again. And somehow, in his heart, he felt he needed to say something to him. So he went up and said, sir, like very uncomfortable-like, as we would, just want you to know that I just felt like God wanted me to talk to you and say hi to you. And at first, there was a bit of a hard exterior, but then he kind of quickly melted and said, oh, how did you know? And I guess he's been struggling with addictions, and he's tried over and over again. He said, I'm just going, actually, right now to an appointment and a meeting where I'm going to try to start again and get things right. And so he prayed for him. He said, God wants me to pray for you. So he prayed for him. And then he said, after that was kind of a hug, which was nice, but also awkward. But it was an embrace where God had showed him something that he hadn't seen before. This childlike faith, where we can walk through life in a different way and be prepared, like I spy with my little eye, to actually see something that God wants us to see. Getting outside of who we are, right? Always with our agenda, right? Always with what we want, how we feel like we're building the community around us or our family or our business or whatever. And not being aware of maybe there's something far greater. If we just surrender to be like a child and listen to God's voice and let him lead us. Childlike faith. You want to come on March 1st. Our president is going to be sharing from God's word then, and I know you won't want to miss it, so please be there. It'll be a single service, so we'll pack the place out, and that'll be a lot of fun. So childlike faith. Back in old days, they had a different view of children, and it was more for what they were going to bring, how they were going to bring value to the family. So when you have a child, you're thinking, well, this will increase my workforce, and this will allow my family to move forward successfully. And maybe in the future, we'll be able to continue to provide for the family with whatever they happen to be working with. So it was more that kind of mentality. Now, don't get me wrong. Of course, they love their children. They love their children. They are their children. We don't have to look very far to see that if we go even back farther from Jesus' time to Abraham and Isaac, right? Where God gave him Isaac, a miracle child, and then he said, now go kill him. And Abraham's heart is broken, of course, because he loves his child. He loves Isaac. So they love their children. I mean, look at even the sons of thunder, James and John, when their mom was all over taking care of them, right? She loved them so much, she went up to Jesus and said, when you go up into heaven, James and John, left and right side of you, right, in the kingdom. So she was all concerned about them. She loved them. So they loved their children. It's just they had a different view of it, a different look at it. So when you see the passage reading like this, it says in Matthew 18:1, it says, at that time, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? He called a child to him and placed the child among them. So the disciples, have a certain view of what great is, and they want to achieve that. But now Jesus is called a visual example, a visual contrast to what they feel is great, to show them what he feels is great. And as he brings this child into their presence, it says that he said, truly I tell you, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever takes a lowly position, the lowly position of this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoever welcomes such a child in my name welcomes me. So we have this picture of how the disciples might picture this child coming in. They would see this child with no rights, no power in society, and very dependent, low down the totem pole. Not that important as far as being great in the kingdom. And so when he brought this child into their presence, now he's starting to show them something completely different. Do you understand maybe what they would look like when they bring a child up before these disciples? Because if we were to bring our children, they'd be wearing crowns, man. They'd be riding higher than we are on the horse. And we're following them. Like, how can I help you, little one, all the time, right? Like, that's totally different. Like, we almost do parades for our kids. Not the case back then. A little different. So when they brought the child into their presence, it would be completely different. It would start to get their minds thinking, and they would actually be a little maybe upset about that. They'd say, Jesus, what are you talking about? This doesn't make sense. You ever had those moments? It doesn't make sense. And I guess that's why I would challenge you, as we're looking at this, pay attention to God's voice as you go through this, because he may show some things to you that don't make sense. All right, our world. I just kind of gave a little picture of it, but in our world, how we treated children are different, but also what we view as greatest is different as well. For the most part, we're trying to be successful. That's really what it is. And we want to feel good about ourselves. And we want to lift ourselves up. I was reading a blog not that long ago about leadership. And it was so funny. They were talking about ways to make your company great again. Or to build it. To make it strong. And so they would talk about things like humility. Being humble. They would talk about even vulnerability. So being vulnerable. But as I was reading this one article, he mentioned, vulnerable. I see that, yeah, we need to be humble, but there's something about the word vulnerable that I just don't like. And he said, and literally in his article, he said, so let's just skip over that word, and let's go to humble, because it just feels better. Now, isn't there that feeling of, we sort of honor the person who's humble, right? Who's able to somehow put themselves in a position where, yeah, we know they're great, and yet they're humble. So we're like, wow, that's awesome. But vulnerable, That to this man had a picture of weakness, of susceptibility, susceptible to things. Like even in our culture, we do a lot of training, as you know, as leaders in our denomination. I just went through a training for sexual abuse, and through that training, we're taught very much about vulnerability and the importance of being sensitive to that and taking care of people, as we should. And so vulnerability has this idea of weakness almost, and we have to be careful. When we get people in ministry, we have to go to the police, our local police, and get a criminal check to make sure that we're not going to take advantage of people who are vulnerable. So the vulnerability has that picture of, well, I'm not vulnerable, I'm just humble. as we wanted that. So our world likes to choose words that appear to be humble and appear to be open and sincere and honest, but we like to use the words that are looking strong enough to keep our image strong. So interesting how our world works. We do see more and more today that it's important for us to have this humbleness in order to bring a team together to succeed and to be vulnerable, in fact, to be vulnerable and to share who we are with people so that they're okay to, we're okay for them to hear about us, and then they're okay to share with who they are with us, and then we form this sort of unit where we can move forward. So it on the outside can appear a little bit more manipulative, but if it's done sincerely, it's powerful. It's like they're tapping into what God has said all along. This kingdom upside down, as they call it, where the least is the greatest and the greatest is the least. A confusing concept in and of itself. So the world has their own opinion. But when Jesus brought this child into the disciples' presence, he was going to now introduce and more strongly say that, no, there's something completely different here. And we need to change. You need to change your stance right now, he's saying to the disciples. And he may be saying that to you right now as well. You need to change your position right now. You need to rethink what you're doing and why you're doing it right now, because I got a better way for you. It's going to set you free. It's going to allow you to walk in the light, walk in my presence, and experience things far greater. We sang that song, Humble Yourself in the Sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. Some of you are doing that just because you want him to lift you up. God, lift me up. Lift me up. No. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord. If you're humbling yourself, you're actually humbling yourself. You're laying yourself down. You've come to the point where you realize, I'm vulnerable. I am weak. Outside of God, apart from God, I can do nothing. You remember that passage where Jesus shared about the vine and the branches? And he talked about the fact that if you're cut from the branch, you can do nothing. Apart from me, you can do nothing. That's the position that Jesus is talking about here. We can do nothing outside of him. So stop talking about who's the greatest. Can you stop that now? Look to me. I'll provide for you all that you need. Don't get caught up in whether you're good or not. Don't get caught up in whether this church, you're the elder, you're on a board, or if you're serving at a lower level, or if you're not serving in the church at all, or whatever you might be doing. Don't get caught up in that stuff. Get connected with me. Humble yourself. All right? Realize that you're vulnerable. Realize the truth. You can do nothing apart from me. And if you can walk like that, you've started a whole new thing. And so we have the way that the child was viewed. We have how the world feels about it, how the world feels about the child, and how the world today feels about greatness. And then we have how Jesus obviously feels about it. He even went on to say in verse 6, if anyone causes one of these little ones who believes in me to stumble, it would be better for them to have a large millstone hung around their neck and drown in the sea. You see, he wanted to drive it home really strong. And I wonder what it would take for Jesus to drive something home really strong to us. How would he get our attention to understand that it's not about us? It's not about us lifting ourselves up. It's about ourselves actually putting ourselves down and having no rights, being powerless, being totally submitted to Christ and who he is. In our world, there's a great contrast to that. Let's go back to our world. We know that because in social media, it's all about putting a good image up there. And you see pictures, you see words, see all sorts of things, and we're almost in competition with other people. And so it's hard for us to talk about humility, because even in our social media posts, we want to sometimes put that picture of having humility, and yet it's so complex because as we put it there, we're actually raising ourselves up. And you're saying, well, that's exactly what it is about. Well, no, it's not. We really need to step out of social media to experience humility. We need to step out into the world. And we need to start actually communicating with people, meeting with people, reaching out and sharing who we are, and taking care of people, humbling ourselves to sacrifice our time, humbling ourselves to sacrifice our screen time, humbling ourselves to sacrifice our time that we want to do building up ourselves or in our business or all the things that we do that seem so uplifting to us. Maybe God's saying there's something completely different, that if we would humble ourselves and leave ourselves vulnerable and understand ourselves as someone who can do nothing apart from God, we would discover some brand new things that we can do. Because in God's kingdom, it's so much different, so drastically different. There's some scripture verses I wanted to share with you. It says in Philippians 4:19 that he will supply for all our needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. So as you surrender yourself and as you find yourself childlike, you can do it in confidence. You see, you can't do it in confidence if you don't know who God is. Do you know that? How could you possibly humble yourself and be vulnerable and share who you are unless you're secure in who you are? And your security only comes from God. And I don't know if that's clear or not, and I'm not going to talk much more on this because I know we're doing communion. I need to keep it moving here, but God knows us even when we're in our mother's womb. He knit us together. He knows all about us. And there's a security that this God who knows all about us will also supply everything we need. It says in Romans 8:28, all things work together for good for those that love God. For our good. He's working out for our good. He actually cares enough for us to work it out for our good, your good, for those that love God. There's a different type of world that we need. There's a different type of way we need to live in this world. It's the picture of like birds in a nest, right? Those little chicks who are in the nest and they can't do anything. They can't even fly. They can't get their food. If the mother bird or the father bird, if their parents did not come back and give them food, they'd have nothing and they'd die. That's the picture Jesus is giving to them. He's showing them these children who are powerless, no real significance in their society. And if they didn't have their parents with them, they would die. And Jesus is saying, don't you understand? You are that vulnerable. Stop talking about the greatest. Stop looking for the heights that you can go to. Actually humble yourself before God. And let him walk in your life. Let him take care of you. Let him show you ways that you never dreamed of that would bring life to you. Don't get caught up in this world's way as the disciples did. It was the same throughout the ages. We all struggle with it. We're going to go to communion in just a moment here, and it's a real easy tie-in with communion. These disciples, these very same disciples, this is, I think, in this passage, at this point when Jesus was talking about who was the greatest, he had just, for the third time, reminded them that he was going to die for them. And yet they still didn't get it. They said, who's the greatest? Who's going to be the greatest, right? Do you ever find yourself in that position where you've forgotten that Jesus died for you? And so when they came to communion, they came around the table. And just to remind them yet again, he went around and he washed their feet, which of course in their culture was one of the lowest things you could do. And so he humbled himself. He made himself vulnerable. This is the Son of God. This is Jesus. This is our leader. This is our CEO. This is our God. This is our Father who can do all things, has created all things. He humbled himself, got on his knees and washed their feet and dried them. And then he died for them. Made himself completely vulnerable. Took shame for all of us. And so we follow that lead. And as we follow that lead, we'll find a God who, as it says in that song, will lift us up. Right? Makes us completely clean. Wipes away all our tears. Wipes away all the sin that we have. And makes us whole and is in his sight, even though we don't deserve that, and we know that we're sinners. This is a God we're serving, and this is a challenge he has for us. So as we come to the table, we're going to come to it knowing that. And hopefully that will give you, sort of in your mind's eye, an opportunity to think through who we are and what we're doing. This message is not to make you guilty, as I said at the beginning. It's to set you free. Because we know what the clamoring is like. It's hard. It's exhausting. It takes a lot out of us because we're doing it on our own. We're trying to reach and reach and reach and pull up and get higher and higher. But as we turn and humble ourselves and in vulnerability, let's lay ourselves before God, he can change that so that we can actually be humble and vulnerable to each other as well. And we can experience a community that actually finds life. Let's pray, and then I'm going to bring the bread and the juice before us. This morning, we're doing it in a way that we're going to pull off some bread that represents Christ's broken body, and then we're going to eat it all together. So if you can wait with me till everybody gets it. And again, as a visual, because Jesus was always about visuals, he actually brought this child into it. This is the visual. With this bread, it represents his body. And as he came before the disciples in communion in the Last Supper, he also broke the bread. And they may not have understood it all, but it was him breaking his body. This is my body broken for you, he said. So as we take of that, let's remember that. I'm going to ask anybody who's wants to come and help. And I'll, okay, great. And what you'll do is you'll take a piece of the bread, and Greg and I, Greg will have some juice.